get this prepared. Give me a second, please. I'm actually just going to use my phone this morning because it's the King James Version I've got, and I don't want to read that. It's too hard. So I'm going to read the... if I can get it. There we go. I'm reading from Luke 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he decided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to feel in need." Sorry, my phone is playing up. "Began to feel in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed for his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, at all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him, my son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found.'"
How's that? Is that better? Good, good. Well, this is the second time this week I've heard this parable. And I think we should just pray first, eh? Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you that you've got something to say to us this morning, just as you have every day, Father. And this day's no different. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come, that your Holy Spirit would speak clearly, and that you would be glorified, and your Son would be exalted, and that this church would thrive to bring glory and honour to your name, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, hallelujah. There was a wealthy Jew, and he sent his son to Israel, and they came back, and he gets saved. So he goes to see Jacob, and he says, Jacob, you'll never believe what happened. He says, what? He says, I sent my son to Israel, and he came back a Christian. He says, let's go and see the rabbi. So he goes and sees the rabbi, and the rabbi says, right, okay, let's just pray. So they're praying, and quite distinctively they heard God. And he says, I sent my son to Israel as well. Which son are you? Are you following the spirit or the flesh? We need to ask ourselves these things. We need to come to a place where it's no formality. We're doing it because we love the Lord. I woke up on Wednesday morning, as you do every other morning, but it happened to be Wednesday that day. And this, I could not get this out of my mind. I could not get this idea of the second brother out of my head. So I went to see the pastor, and I said to him, look, I feel I've got a word for the church. And that's why I'm here today. The big brother's usually the hero of this message, the one who does all that's asked of him and never complains, working in the fields all those years. Most preachers generally focus on the first brother who comes to repentance, and the older brother gets a cursory mention. In this story, the first son had been brought up in a loving home with everything that he needed. He was the one who forced his father to divide the inheritance, and he became known as the prodigal son. In other words, he spent his money recklessly and in an extravagant way. He took what his father had given him and lived a riotous life. The cash was now gone. Party time was over for him. He had no friends in this foreign land, and a famine came in the land. He took a job feeding pigs, and while he was in this place, the revelation struck him that he could go to his father's. He could repent, and so he did. I told somebody earlier on I was talking too much and I get dry. And I've not even started. Anyway, the father's delighted to have his son back. Home, secure, safe. And it must have been a terrible few years for him. Waiting, watching, worrying about his son, and eventually delighted when he sees him returning. His father welcomes him back with open arms, closes him, gives him a credit card, the equivalent of a ring back in the day. If you had a ring, you were somebody. And he celebrates his return with food and dancing because his son has come back safe and sound. His son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The older brother gets back in for the field, and he's annoyed that there's a party going on in the house. And he's really, really annoyed that it's because his brother has returned. He's angry, he refuses to go in, and his father ends up leaving the party to plead with him to come and join the celebrations. But he's selfish, he's bitter, he's proud, he's ungrateful, with unforgiveness towards his father and his young brother. According to him, he had slaved in the fields for years and obeyed every order his father gave him. It was okay for the fatted calf to be used to celebrate his brother's return, but he couldn't have a goat to celebrate with his friends. The father points out that everything the father has belongs to him. I don't know if you're aware of it, but under Jewish law, the older brother gets a double portion for a start. Just a passing mention of something that's important. The father said, I had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So what's going on in this parable that's something to teach us today? The first sin in the story is easy to understand. His sin is hung out for all to see. Everyone can see that he's guilty. God brings him to repentance. He then moves from the flesh to the spirit for the first time in a long time. His admiration for his father's love is conveyed in the realization that he can go home. What he might find when he get there, he could only imagine. Now he finds acceptance by God and by his father, and now he feels at the center of God's will. The older brother interests me, though. Prior to the noise of music from the house, the older brother had been going about his business as usual. But something manifested in him when he got home that day. It would appear from the text that the older brother has been holding on to quite a lot of stuff. Where did this attitude come from? How does this affect us today as Christians? Have we become like the big brother? When God begins to do a work, we need to be in the spirit to hear him. We need to work with him, to follow him. We need to obey him, or we too will find ourselves moaning and complaining and stifling the spirit of God and become like the big brother in our story. We're all in a battle which needs us all to be together as one body, loving as God loves, forgiving as Christ does, moving as the Spirit does. This is our church, and I say the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It's possible to go so far from God that we ourselves don't even realize it. I remember I was in such a place. My first wife had committed adultery and left me with the three kids. And I still went to church and went through the motions of being a Christian. But it took about 2 years. And I was standing in the living room one day and I had this film on, Open Range. It's a good cowboy film, if you want a good cowboy film, okay? And I'm watching this film and these rustlers have killed their pal and they're burying him. And one of them says to the other one, "Who's going to pray?" He says, "Say a few words." He says, "But I'm no talking to the big one up the stairs, so one of yous will have to do it." And as soon as he says that, I just broke down. I came to the realization that I'd been so far from God, I never even noticed it. I still went to church. I still went to prayer meetings. I even thought everything was okay. I can handle this. I've got God on my side. Anyway, it started a work in my life. And I came to know God as my father through it all. Anyway, it was quite a difficult time, I must admit. So I do know what it's like for us to think we're in the place where God wants us to be when we're not really. Jesus addresses the seven churches in Revelation. The Ephesus church were so busy in the business of the king that they forgot about the king. That's what Jesus had against them. They were so busy in the business of the king that they forgot the king. The Sardis church, a model of Revelation chapter 3, where there was the appearance of godliness, which seemed to be more important than the reality of godliness. Where's your time invested? Is your time invested in your relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, you're like the older brother, investing your time in the flesh, which is diametrically opposed to what God wants. We find that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, where it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." The older brother couldn't help himself and let everyone know what came first in his life. He did. He came first. The outcome wasn't going his way, but you can rest assured it was going God's way. God is in control. You might not think it, it might not look like it, but God has a plan. And he's no changing to plan B because of you. Are you understanding that? God has a plan. All his thoughts are laid bare before us. He was reaping what he sowed. This is the older brother. These thoughts didn't get there by themselves. Your thoughts don't get there by themselves. They materialize from somewhere, no from the thin air. They come from within. They come out of our hearts. So this brother had been going through this for years and never ever said a word and was probably no that close to God. And he ended up blurting it all out. God is still at work in our world, but he wants us as a church to move forward and not to get so far and then think this is far enough, I dare enough. Why do they know, dear? How does she? We need to start taking responsibility for the function of the church. Do you know what the function of the church is? To live in the Spirit and to witness for God. That's what the function of the church is. To live in the Spirit and to witness for God. That's why he saved us. However, if we don't get refreshed daily by the Word, or we don't spend time, we remain where we are. No expectancy of change when we need to be moving on with God. And without expectancy, we have no hope. And we become stagnant, like a murky pond, with no inlet or outlet. Eventually, all life in that pond ceases, and we have nothing to show for our belief in Christ. How will you respond when God asks, "What did you do with my son?" I hope you're feeling uncomfortable. I really do. Because if that's what's going to motivate you and move you, then glory be to God. You can throw me out of the church next week. I'll find another one. Because God is with me. I know the blessing of God. I'm the guy that goes to all the prayer meetings, remember? Or maybe you don't know it because you never see it, because you're never there. I'm the guy that runs the prayer thing. You might not know that. But what I'm trying to tell you is the blessing of God is upon me. I've got everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. And if I died the day before the morrow, I wouldn't care because I know I'm going to be with my Lord. How do you feel? You got a few more years in you? Maybe you don't have. Maybe Jesus will take you here today. Brothers and sisters, the older brother never came to repentance in this story. But we can move forward. We can move upwards. We can move onwards with God by investing in him, our Lord, by accepting responsibility for the church which he set us in, to bring revival to this local community. I heard it said this morning, where's the 1% in the prayer meeting? Where's the 1%, God? And people are still holding on to that prophecy. I wasn't here at the time. I don't even know where it came from, but I do know that God said he was going to bring 1% in here. And if we don't get off our backsides, there'll not even be 0.5% coming in here. I know there's a few new faces. By the way, I'm Robbie, in case you don't know. I know there's a few new faces and there's a few things been happening. In fact, since we came back for COVID, we've tried to redesign as elders this church. And that's never good for anybody, is it? When you try to change things. My goodness. I never asked to be an elder, I said. Ah, but you're an elder. I know, but I never asked. Don't blame me. I can only give you the truth. I can only give you my opinion as I see it before God. You know, I always thought I wanted to be a pastor, but see, when I saw the job at our pastor's go, I went to Bible college, and then I went to do a master's. And after that, I thought, God, you're right. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't mind preaching and teaching. I couldn't put up with that tripe that he puts up with. And I'm an elder, so I know the tripe I'm talking about, but you don't. Blah, 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 blah. Him that, her that, this, that. My goodness. We need to fix our focus on the Lord God Almighty. We can't keep looking at other people. We need to look at ourselves. Is the writing on the wall for us? Is it? Are we going to fall away because we can't keep up? Too difficult. It's too hard. Or anyway, I don't like him. Oh, I don't like her. Oh, guess what? You're told to love them. You're told to love one another. And I know that's difficult, believe you me. My good wife, goodness me, I don't know how she puts up with me. Are we going to become disgruntled and hold on to all that stuff? It's just stuff. It really is just stuff that's holding us back. Like the big brother in the story. I'm sure he didn't know he had all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, poof. I'm sure after it he must have went, where did all that come from? Because I know even when I was reading it and thinking, where did all that stuff come from? I started to look. He was ungrateful. He was unrepentant. He was unforgiveness towards his father. But I tell you something, this church is not finished yet. I'm here to encourage you, not to tell you to leave. I'm here to build you up, not to pull you down. I believe that's what God wants for this church. God is not finished with this church yet. He wants us to be a church that people remember. And what are they remembering? What do people think about this church? Nice Christians. They go there every Sunday. But that's all they do. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would touch our hearts and minds, that you would open up the way forward for us to move forward with you, Father, to confess our sins and to move in your spirit, Father, and to know the fullness of the blessing of God. Oh, gracious and merciful God, continue to speak your word. Continue, Father, to uphold us and to walk with us, Lord, that our neighbours wouldn't be lost, that our families wouldn't be lost, that those out there that we don't even know wouldn't be lost, Lord. This world is in a terrible state. I know there's a few things to come before you come back again, Lord, but it's just in such a bad way. Our children, or the things that are going on, Lord, I don't even want to remind people. We know what's going on. And we ask you to have mercy, Father God. I know you'll turn those over to the sinfulness of their own minds, Father, those that would reject you. But help us, your church, Father. Bless your church, Father. We need your blessing, Father. We need to be touched by your spirit before believing. Move forward, Father. Oh, bring a revelation of you, Lord God, that we might see you and we might be changed forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thanks very much, folks.